help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Lord God, you are merciful and tender-hearted, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to us in our anguish over sin, and hear our cry for mercy, that we may be at peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Our final section of the Passion history is recorded by Luke, takes us to the point of the death of the Son of God. We follow along this evening, not only in this reading, but also in our sermon devotion. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they shall say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the Passion reading of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
"Into your hands I commend my spirit." "Have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth."
"Into your hands I commend my spirit."
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
the name of our Passover lamb, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The darker the darkness, the brighter the light. It may have been a dark room, a dark night, a dark cave. Somewhere in your life, you've been somewhere that was really, truly dark. So dark, you could feel it. But the smallest light in such a dark situation is enough to make you almost cover your eyes because of the brightness. To go from somewhere where it's completely dark into, let's say, another room where it's light, let's say going from the bedroom to the bathroom at night, and you turn on that overhead light, you would think you were looking directly into the face of the sun itself. The contrast is so stark, so overwhelming, so breathtaking. Tonight we see the darkest dark and the lightest light. And the lightest light will shine like the noonday sun in contrast to the darkness around it. See if you can hear the light in our reading for this evening from Luke's 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the other criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." That's an ugly scene at an ugly place. It's very dark, a place called the Skull. And there's something very horrible happening. Three men are being killed by crucifixion, the ugliest way that the Romans had to put someone to death. It is dark and bleak and morbid and deadly. But that's not enough darkness. It's even darker than that. It's not only dark on your eyes when you look at this grotesque scene that Luke describes, it's also very dark on your ears. You listen to those Jewish leaders, the ones who had had Jesus crucified in the first place. It wasn't enough for them to simply have this man led off and killed away from their presence. No, they had to go there, and they had to gloat. And they had to make a little sermon for all those gathered around Jesus. "See this guy? That's no Messiah. That's no Savior. If he were the Savior, he'd come down from the cross. This is a fraud. This is a phony." But they twist it even darker by saying he helped others, but he can't help himself. The question being, if he helped others so much, why are you killing him? And they taunt and they sneer and they have a good old time while Jesus dies a horrible death. The Roman soldiers answer amen to the sermon being preached by the Jewish leaders. And they continue to do what they've been doing for quite a while now, mocking Jesus. A king. Really? A king? This is a king? No. "Oh, hail Jesus, you king. You almighty wise one. You're so knowing. Here, have some wine vinegar on the end of my sponge." Hurling insults. Mocking. Dark. Dark, horrible people. And then, to have the person next to him, the person that you would think might share just the tiniest shred of sympathy for what they're going through, he joins in on it. Jesus, save yourself and save us too. No mercy, no pity, just horrible words and requests that sounded just like what Satan had said. If you are the Son of God, Jesus, prove yourself. Come on. Show once and for all you're the Messiah. What darkness. What horribleness. If you were Jesus, what would you say? If you had suffered just the tiniest amount of a fraction of the indignity that this man had suffered over the last 24 hours and that he was suffering right now, if you had suffered just a fraction of it, what would you say? What would you say? We all know what we would say. We'd figure, you know what? They're already crucifying me. I might as well let it out. I'm going to tell the brutal, honest truth. You people are all horrible. And call them names. Come up with sick, twisted ways to make them feel bad about themselves. If you were the Son of God and had all the power of God, what would you do? Would you find horrible ends for all of them and guarantee that the rest of their lives and the rest of eternity would be spent in pain and suffering for what they're doing to you? How dare they? That's what we'd do. But Jesus opens his mouth to speak, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They don't know what they're doing? Are you kidding me, Jesus? These Jewish leaders are the ones that arranged your trial and made sure that false witnesses came forth. They had seen your miracles. They knew what you were up to. They knew who you were. Are you kidding me that they didn't know what they were doing? The Roman soldiers who were putting you to death, Jesus, honestly, they didn't know what they were doing? These men were trained professionals. They knew they were crucifying someone, and they knew what they were saying was going to hurt you even more. Pilate didn't know what he was doing after he admitted several times this is an innocent man and yet sentenced him to die? And not just to die some neat clean death, but crucifixion? Jesus, you're telling me Pilate did not know what he was doing? How strongly Jesus keeps the eighth commandment here and says they didn't know what they were doing. Father, forgive them. He prays a prayer. He prays a prayer of love and kindness and compassion for the very people who were causing him the most pain at that moment. Father, forgive them. He doesn't pray for himself. He prays for them. And while God was just about to leave Jesus, to turn away from him because he was about to be covered with all of our guilt, yet in that moment, God the Father answered that prayer. He forgave them, the very men who were killing his son, because his son requested him to forgive them. There's another thing that Jesus says. He says it to the other thief on the cross. The other man who had also started out hurling insults at Jesus, but then came to the conclusion, this is truly Jesus. This is the Messiah. And he makes a request for Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. You would expect Jesus to say, tough luck, buddy. Little late for a confession, isn't it? Sorry. You deserve what you're getting, and you're going to deserve it in eternity too. I got my own problems here. You deal with yourself. But no. Instead, he turns to this man and says, Today you'll be with me in paradise. Not some promise for some far-off distant future after he's put some good time in purgatory, but today. What bright and shining words full of love on such a dark day. They shine so brightly. We ask ourselves, what is the glory of the cross? There is no glory in crucifixion, and yet here we see the glory so beautifully that a man who was the very Son of God would be so lowly as to die for us and to speak yet so lovingly toward us. The words that Jesus spoke were not only beautiful, they were powerful. Because the words he spoke had the power to do the very thing that he had asked them to do. The moment that Jesus spoke, "Father, forgive them," those men's sins were forgiven, all of them. And in just a few moments, when he breathed his last and died, the sins of the whole world would be forgiven. Those powerful words still echo out to this very day. God's forgiveness of the world still stands. Jesus still stands between a righteous God and horrible, dark, twisted sinners and says, "Father, forgive them," because they don't know what they're doing. "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." Throughout the centuries, it's been a focal point of the liturgy that the lowly minister, who is nothing in and of himself but a mere mortal man, would stand in front of a group of people who know that they are horrible, twisted sinners, and would say to them, "By the command of Christ, by his authority, I forgive you your sins." Such small, seemingly unglorious words that have such power that the minute that the pastor pronounces them, God the Father answers that prayer with a yes. Yes, their sins are forgiven. Yes, my son's blood covers them too. Yes, even those sins they just committed. Powerful words that last throughout time and space. The words today, "You will be with me in paradise," a promise made not just to that thief on the cross, but made to all of us, chief of sinners though we may be. Doesn't matter how often we have strayed or how far we have gone down that dark road, there is forgiveness and there is eternity waiting for us. The moment of our death, today, "You will be with me in paradise." The thief on the cross could do nothing to repay Jesus. He was about to breathe his last. His hands were literally nailed and his feet as well. Nothing that he could offer Jesus, but Jesus offers him the best gift that anyone could ever receive, an eternity of joy. There's nothing we can do either to pay Jesus back. And yet, he announces the same gift to us. "I give you eternal life." Glorious words. Powerful words. Words to remember this week. When the dark world gets darker around us, we rely on the words of Jesus. When death closes in on us and we begin to fear because we do not know what's on the other side, we have sure promises from Jesus that paradise waits because he has forgiven our sins and we too will live with him forever. Rejoice and be glad tonight because of those glorious, beautiful, powerful words hidden on the cross. Amen. Please stand. Now may the God of all hope fill you with hope as you place your trust in him. Amen. You may be seated as we bring our offerings to God.
present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Teach us the patience and perseverance of the cross, so that our Savior's victory over sin, death, and Satan may give us strength to overcome. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Look down, O Lord, from your heavenly throne, and illuminate this night with your celestial brightness, that by night, as by day, your people may glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace, Lord, in peace. You let your servant now depart according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people, a light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. In peace, in peace.
The Almighty and Merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for worship this evening. My prayer is that the word of God which you have heard here reflects itself in your hearts and your lives until we meet again this coming Sunday for Palm Sunday. Our Palm Sunday service starts the theme for our week of Holy Week, and that theme is to be set apart. Holy means to be set apart, to be designated for special use and devotion to God. And so you'll notice on the very back of your bulletin this evening, our schedule of services this week not only include our Sunday Palm Sunday service, our Thursday, Friday, Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday services, and our Easter service, but also they include Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning devotions. The Monday and Tuesday morning devotions will start at 7:45 and finish just after 8. The Wednesday morning devotion is in conjunction with the school's chapel. It'll start at 8:25 and go till just after 9. So please join us for those opportunities to set aside time to reflect on all that Christ won for you during that last week of his life and that he assures you is yours in eternity. Please also notice the other announcement in the bulletin this Saturday. We have our spring cleanup around the church. Lots has already been done with the good weather, but we still have a whole lot left to do. There's inside and outside jobs, so if you don't want to get your hands dirty, you can work in the church as well, or just wear gloves. But please join us from 8 o'clock in the morning until around noon. Have a blessed evening.